And this is a return visit from our own Gabrielle Louise. I say our own, even though she's born and raised in Colorado, currently based in rural Colorado, but has spent so much quality time down here in New Mexico over the years as her singer-songwriter career has blossomed, that at least in on this show, we consider her our canale. We consider her one of our own, especially when she comes into the studio with the Albuquerque singer-songwriter Justin Evan Thompson on second guitar and vocals. What brought these people to our studio? It is the latest tour from Gabrielle Louise in support of her latest album, When the Static Clears. Very different approach that she's bringing to the concert circumstance that they've been developing. And we got a chance to bring them into Studio C, this little bitty room, on Thursday morning as they were on their way down to Las Cruces to do some musical activism, you might say, and 2 days before they head to Santa Fe. That 2 days is actually tomorrow, Sunday in Santa Fe at the gig. Gabrielle Louise Trio stopped off in our own Studio C, lay down some tracks, and also talk a bit about what's been up with them over these last 8 months, I think, since she was last in our studios or in New Mexico. So with no further ado, with yours truly behind the console in Studio C, the trio are John Stillwagon on keyboards and accordion, Justin Evan Thompson on electric guitar, that was the Telecaster, plus vocals, and on acoustic guitar and vocals, Gabrielle Louise, the Gabrielle Louise Trio in conversation, but first in performance.
She moves through the crowded streets, satin slippers on her feet. Comes every Sunday, brings a bouquet. Slipping through the iron gate, the dying day rests in golden rays. Seat that is saved with her name for the graveyard ballet. Graveyard ballet. Tonight they are dancing in the graveyard ballet. The graveyard. Graveyard ballet. Tonight they are dancing in the graveyard ballet. The chatter of a passing breeze falls to the hush. She can feel him lift her by the
I'm here with Gabrielle Louise, Justin Evan Thompson, and John Stillwagon of The Trio. We'll call them The Trio. It's not Halloween, but there is something so deliciously dark about that last song, that first song, Graveyard Ballet. I had thought of you as a very earnest songwriter and very direct and emotional. But I'm hearing some other things going on, at least in that song, because it's like, you know, Charles Adams territory a little
Thank
bit.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, yeah, that song had perhaps the most interesting conception of many of my compositions. I was living down in Buenos Aires, Argentina at the time, and wandering in and out of these cemeteries, which there are kept so beautifully. They have so many professional gardeners that come in, and the graves are in mausoleums, these above-ground kind of miniature houses. And there's, you know, birds and gigantic 40-foot walls that encompass these graveyards. So they're just kind of sanctuaries in the middle of the city. And that was really the kind of starting point for it. But then I received this email from a physicist friend of mine who said he wanted to make a collaboration between music and science. And I thought, what on earth are you talking about? Like, okay, sure, why not? Let's try. And so he sent me what's called a pendulum wave, which is a science experiment made of 13 pendulums of different lengths. And they're released at the same time, but because each pendulum has a different period, they dance together in the air and make these beautiful patterns. And so so I wrote a song to his pendulum array, basically, and that was the song. And so that's why the narrative unfolded as this story of a widowed ballerina kind of dancing in the graveyards. And so we performed this piece together with the pendulum at the live concert a couple of times, and it was really fun.
So have you been thinking about adding the theatrical element to what you're doing, or has that always been part of the performance for you?
Yeah, well, in that particular song, I mean, certainly the first time we performed it was very theatrical. And then another performance of it we gave, my younger brother played the marimba, and that was very spooky.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, but I love your idea about the metronome. That's great.
Well, it's very, very juicy. Now, this tour is happening ostensibly in support of When the Static Clears, which is the most recent album number 7, maybe?
Well, 6 if you don't count some that I don't count anymore.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you know, working with you are some heavyweights. Justin Evan Thompson, the Albuquerque songwriter, singer-songwriter, who's also a co-writer on some of these songs. And the newbie, John
yes.
Stillwagon, and you're coming. Where are you coming from that you're joining us?
Colorado Springs.
Oh, yeah. So you're coming from the base.
Yes. I lived there for 24 years, almost a native. So, yeah, we've collaborated on two other projects so far, and hope there's going to be more coming
up. Yeah, we're having such a fun time. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
This is the first time John and I have played together. Actually, last night was our first show where we all three played together. And it was a smash hit. It was really fun.
Oh, we had a blast. Yeah.
Yeah, and you can hear later on, we're going to hear some of this really interesting byplay that happens between electric guitar and keyboard. Now, Gabrielle, since the last time you were here, you've kind of concretized something that you were always doing in concert, and you're giving this concept of made for something more, taken from one of your titles.
Yeah, so I'm just starting to work on this project. Yep, exactly, the Made for Something More project. And the basic idea of it is that I'll be lending songs, some of which are Justin and I's compositions and others of which are interpretations, to nonprofit causes that I care about. I basically just made a list of things that I deeply care about, and then beside it made a list of songs that I either was going to learn or write about those causes. And I'm just excited for the coming year to kind of lend my creative voice to things like environmentalism and feminism. And in the case of our show tomorrow in Las Cruces, we're going to be playing the song Deportee for a group down there that is helping people, DACA applicants, reapply in the next 2 months.
And of course, Deportee has seen, well, you can't call it a second life since it's a song that's never gone away, but
yeah.
Right.
You're hearing it everywhere in many different iterations.
Crops are all in, the peaches are rotten, the oranges piled high in their creosote dumps. Oh, they're flying them back to that Mexican border to spend just to wade back again. Goodbye to my home, goodbye Rosalita, adios mis amigos, Jesus y Maria. When you ride the big airplane, cheese. Goodbye to my home. Goodbye, Rosalita. Adios, mis amigos. Jesus y Maria, you won't have a name when you ride the big airplane. All they will call you will be
okay, it's an interesting political era.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly some people feel like it's full court press when it comes to the issues that they care about. In your capacities as musicians and as travelers, since you're seeing this country in a way that most of us don't, as you're moving around, because you're also not moving from jet plane to jet plane and expensive venue to expensive venue.
Right.
How does the message not become muddy and simplistic? Because you're talking about environmentalism, you're talking about immigrants' rights, you're talking about human rights. You're bringing certainly in this era, in this last few weeks, obviously issues of feminism and Me Too come into it in a big way.
Mm-hmm.
How does it not turn to mush, and how do you not make the audience go, hmm?
Well, I love that question so much, because speaking of Woody Guthrie, I mean, Woody Guthrie was not traveling around from jet plane to jet plane. He was traveling on a train car, like, or who knows how he got around most of the time, you know, and not playing in glamorous situations. But he just was totally unabashed about his belief structure. And, I think that there's a balance for sure, because I do have, they say all artists are dictators. Is that what they say, or fascists? And in some respects, that's totally true. I have a very strong set of beliefs. But I liked your point, too, about geography and, like, understanding and honoring the specific kind of geography of each place that you go and the things that those people might be up against. And that's part of this project is, you know, the issue that I'm going to choose to lend my voice to is going to be very different in Colorado or maybe Montana than it would be in Las Cruces, New Mexico. And so I love that integration with each particular part of the country we visit.
And a lot of the Colorado work is related to water.
Water, exactly. Yep. In fact, I created a documentary film about 4 years ago now called No Water to Waste. And it was about water conservation and preserving those resources in the state. Yep.
So for now, the three of you are all based in Colorado.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And dealing with those issues.
Yeah.
Yep.
Fracking. And fracking. Yeah,
fracking
too.
Is a huge one.
Is that an issue in Colorado?
Oh,
it's an
issue
in our locality where we live. It's a huge issue, yeah.
One of the stories I've heard about fracking in the West is some of these companies go to isolated and basically poor rural communities, and they say, "We'll build you a school, and we'll fix that road for you so you can get groceries, and it doesn't take you a half hour or an hour and a half to get to the store," and these communities are pretty much up against it, and they almost have to say yes because
That's funny that you say that, because in our community, the argument was kind of, so Peña is a small rural agrarian community. There's orchards, organic orchards, vineyards all over. And they kind of tried to use that argument of, you know, you guys need an economic boost. And our community rose up unanimously, seriously. They had 40,000 letters of resistance from our community of a town of 3,000 people. So it wasn't just people living there. It was people in the county and people that loved Peña that lived elsewhere. And they totally rose up and they said, we have so much going on here already. We have industry, we have tourism, we have these vineyards, we have farming history, and people just said, we don't need it.
And given that water is one of your front issues in Colorado, the condition of the water table after fracking
really matters, exactly.
Yeah. Yep. Now, when you're traveling out on the road, because I looked at your recent itinerary. I mean, you're coast to coast. And I'm sure Canada and the UK are in there somewhere at some point.
I hope so soon.
They hear you from Colorado. I'm sure they think of only one thing. How do you deal with that?
Oh, yeah, I guess what is that one thing? A lot of people kind of say, oh, you sound like John Denver, or you remind me of John Denver or something.
Or people are thinking about the weed.
Oh, the weed, yeah, that is absolutely what they think of. It's true, yeah. Yeah, how do
life is normal.
Yourself? I don't know.
It's no different than before.
Yeah, and well, and you know, at heart, I really am a mountain girl, so I guess they're not too far off.
Yeah, this is where your roots are. Yeah. What do you see when you play? Because your music covers a real serious range.
Yeah, thank you.
And you're not standing up there as political songwriter first. People are going to you for the poetry.
Yeah.
And also people who've seen you in the past are going to you for, I would suspect, you know, what this new kind of songwriting is like and what co-writing with Justin is bringing out of both of you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So are you looking at audiences who are puzzled when you break out some of those other songs?
What do you think?
Yeah, I'd kind of actually like to answer your first question of, you know, how does it not get muddy? And, you know, in the mainstream and the media and stuff is truncated, it's sound bites, and it's divisive. What's cool about this format is music's pretty unifying, and it's disarming. And then, you know, we're actually giving airtime to the message. We're going to bring the people up who are work for these organizations and give them a second to talk about what
brief
they do.
Brief interview on stage.
And the facts. So I think, you know, what we're doing with Gabriel's Made for Something More project is we're trying to make it a unifying thing through music and then get more facts out and get people more involved and informed.
So if people come to the gig in Santa Fe, there's going to be some tables and there's going to be some after action.
Interaction, yeah. Interaction. Well, certainly in Las Cruces, yeah, we found an organization there that was very particularly tied to that cause that Deportee kind of talks about. And so, yeah, they are going to be there present to answer questions. And basically what we're trying to do is, you know, if somebody cares or they're moved by these messages that we're talking about, we want them to be directly connected to resources of how they can help or how get involved rather than just go home and, you know, feel something, but then it just fizzles out. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
We're going to hear a song that was written about going home and feeling something, and it was written about a year ago.
Yeah.
Can you set us up a little bit for Stillness Speaks and the way you've responded?
Sure. Yeah. Well, that's interesting because that's kind of another part of the story, right? And that talks about how important it is to listen. And so this composition, Stillness Speaks, was written directly after the election. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's a dialogue. And it's very important that we listen to one another because that's the only way that we're going to come up with solutions. So I woke up from a nap in a hotel room in Kansas City and like I said, the election had just happened and Facebook and social media had turned into this like giant vitriolic dysfunctional family where everyone was just screaming at each other. And I had the concept for this song, which is about kind of centering ourselves and tuning into our actions because that's what matters most.
In the darkness, in the vastness, the quiet, it is a canvas. So be still, stillness speaks. I'm not waiting on any God there. I'm not saying of any prayer. I am still because stillness speaks. Whoa. Oh. Oh.
To their judgments, they are bound.
Recorded on the 9th of November, Thursday morning, bright and early. Gabriel Louise, vocals and guitar. Justin Evan Thompson on Telecaster and vocals. John Stillwagon on keyboards and accordion. Their traveling is Gabriel Louise Trio. We caught him as they were on their way to a Thursday night show in Las Cruces. That has already happened, but what is next? You're invited to, in fact, if you're in Santa Fe, a performance at the Gig. Gig Performance Space tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. Gabrielle Louise, her last name, L-O-U-I-S-E. You can find her online. Many different spots for her, including Facebook, but there is GabrielleLouise.com, I believe. It talks about the Made for Something More project, which is sort of undergirding the music that she's doing right now. Also been told that we may get a return visit from the trio and perhaps some local co-conspirators before the end of the year, because there is a live album in the works from Gabriel Louise. We may see it, considering that performance you heard was all the way live in our little bitty room. And we got such sound out of them, you can imagine what she'll come up with. And of course, on that last song, I just wonder if that line, "to their judgments they are bound," I wonder if they hear that in places like Alabama.